No one is safe from these earth-shaking decibels. And even though it feels just another ordinary night, this one, this time, is far more unnerving. Run away, yeah, with me. Lost soul to reverie. Running wild and running free. Two kids, you and me. And I say, hey. Their eyes are hungry, their bellies are full, and they are well rested. Take a good look, a very good look. Things are about to change. Anything is possible. You don't believe me, do you? You can't. Prepare yourselves. A new beginning. Something unimaginable. Thus begins. Hear me when I say this. WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Internet radio program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host, Napier.
Titties.
And via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Hola.
Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND. That is Men Gush Cod, if you're into the whole spelling thing. We do have one hell of a program this evening. We have much to discuss. Travis,
yes, sir.
How are you, guy? Are you feeling good? You were up kind of late last night. You were texting me pretty late.
I'm feeling pretty good. I got a little dizzy a little while ago. Couldn't focus. Vision was a little blurry. I was worried for a minute.
Sleep heart was deprivation?
Racing. I doubt it. I do that to myself all the time, so I'm not really sure what it was, but I think it has passed. So I'm pretty good.
You should do what I do. I take 3 over-the-counter sleeping pills and then 6 to 8 shots of rum.
I don't need the sleep help because I drink myself to sleep usually every night or a good majority of the night.
Do you drink or do you pass out? Because I pass out.
I'll typically, in the last handful of months, I've actually been able to, you know, get up and walk to my bedroom and go to sleep.
That's quite the accomplishment. You should be very proud of yourself.
There was a while there where I would fall asleep on the couch, you know, like 4 out of the 7 nights of the week.
So, I mean, obviously, the big story of the week is Gaston blew his head off with the fireworks, right?
Yep.
That's
he's
weird.
A dipshit.
I was working really hard to try to come up with a no one, but I couldn't think of any more other than that. I was going to make a Gaston song, but, you know.
It just, which motion picture was he the villain in?
He was the Beauty and the Beast guy.
Yep.
Oh,
he was pissed
yeah.
off because she went and lived with a hairy fella.
Yep. And then they were going to torch him, right?
Yeah, they were like, hey, fuck you, hairy fella. No, well, I guess that was Stockholm Syndrome, because, you know, he kidnapped that broad.
He certainly did. And he was a monster.
So really, he was kind of the good guy.
He was also feeding the girl LSD or something, obviously, because she was constantly seeing dancing teapots and candlesticks and shit.
In Gaston's defense, was kind of a prick, sure, but he was trying to save a princess who was kidnapped.
And in a bestiality relationship.
What really did he do other than kind of be a dick and try to do the right thing?
Most of the guys that the Disney princesses get with are kind of dicks. Like the one from Tangled, the Rapunzel gets with, he's like just a stone-cold thief who's pretending to be
Aladdin
someone else.
Was too. I mean, sure, you can be all like, oh, Aladdin, you know, he doesn't have a mustache, so he's a good guy. But, I mean, fact of the matter is, Homeboy's out there stealing bread. Homeboy's not a good guy.
And Sleeping Beauty's prince was Bill Cosby-ing her.
Wait, what?
You know, she was passed out, and he was making out with her.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about the cartoons lately. Back in the 80s, all the cartoons were really just commercials for toys. Like the best
commercials for toys.
Like the Cabbage Patch Kids. I mean, they made Cabbage Patch Kids, and then they're like, maybe these Cabbage Patch Kids should be more than just, you know, silly looking, you know, dolls. Maybe they should have like a backstory. And so I'm reading about the Cabbage Patch Kids. Do you remember the villains of the Cabbage Patch Kids?
No.
There was this gal. Her name was like Lavender something. And she has a theme song. And really, like, okay, so the Cabbage Patch Kids, they are born from cabbage. Like, there's cabbage that's growing out in the wild, or I guess somebody had like a cabbage garden or something. You know, the Cabbage Patch. And they become children. And these children don't have parents because they didn't come out of a cooter. They were born from a plant.
So immaculate conception.
So there's all these babies out there, and they don't have anywhere to go. And so you have two options.
Eat the cabbage early?
You can either go buy a $30 doll, or this gal, this Lavender gal, is going to kidnap the children from the Cabbage Patch.
Wait, how do you kidnap an orphan?
I guess you don't. You just kind of go pick them up.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're just kind of out crawling around. You go pick them up, and she takes them down to her mine and turns them into child slaves. There's a song about it. Do you want to hear the song?
Does it involve her being nice and giving orphans a job?
No.
And a place to live.
The Cabbage Patch was a lovely place until one day an evil woman arrived.
Okay, so first verse.
Lavender.
She's just identifying
Lavender
herself.
Lavender McDay.
That's her name.
Say welcome to the star of this evil escapade.
Is this the bad lady from 101 Dalmatians?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, instead of making a coat out of Dalmatians, she's stealing children. Sending them down into a coat.
Oh, no,
okay, now you gotta listen to this verse. This is important.
I've got to stop those cabbage kids from finding parents of their own. I'm going to need some henchmen. I can't do it all alone. Cause there's gold here in the valley, and the kids cannot go free. I need their little fingers to dig the gold for me.
She owns a gold mine, but she can't find people to work there. What a shitty owner of a gold mine. How do you fuck up a gold mine? It is a literal gold mine.
Her hands are too big? Her hands are too big to get the gold out of the mine. She needs little bitty cabbage baby hands. Okay, so now she meets a pal.
Lavender went and found the biggest and ugliest jackrabbit in the county.
And who are you?
I'm Cabbage Jack.
Cabbages, oh, this is racist.
Cabbages, yum, yum, yum. cabbages, give me some.
Okay, so this rabbit, this just giant evil rabbit that hangs out with the gal.
Oh, are you talking about Cabbage Jack?
Cabbage Jack, yeah.
Oh.
He loves cabbage. He loves eating it. So he's eaten a bunch of abortions, right?
Yeah,
he's eating babies. If these grow up to be babies, he's eating them prematurely. He's an abortion eater. He's eaten the abortion cabbage,
And so, I mean, really, these two bad guys, they don't have the same goal. She wants them to be born so that she can steal them and send them down to dig her gold for her. And he wants to eat them before they're born. So they shouldn't have any reason to work together.
No, of course
not. See, that's why you have to team up with another villain that has a completely different agenda. You know, like in Batman Returns when the Penguin joined with Catwoman. The Penguin wanted to be mayor and also kidnap a bunch of children. And Catwoman just wanted revenge on Max Schreck. So what she should have done is she should have teamed with Gargamel from the Smurfs. And they should have attacked together and round up Cabbage Patch and Smurfs.
There's also a third villain. He's a weasel that wears a little bowler hat.
I think weasels eat rabbits too.
But I don't know what his deal is. He doesn't really fit into the whole narrative, really.
He's probably trying to steal her gold.
Well, and it's funny because like he keeps talking to her about how she should pay him. But I mean, she's not paying anybody, I don't think. So I thought a lot about Cabbage Patch Kids this week. They made in 86 they made $2 billion.
Holy
in 87 they made $650 million. In 88 they made $250 million, and in 89 they went bankrupt and sold the rights to the dolls to Mattel. So I mean, I don't know how you make $2 billion and end up going bankrupt. I don't know how that happens.
Obviously,
you have a very clever accountant who hides your money before you sell to Mattel.
Yep.
Yeah, and you say, "Oh, I don't know what happened to all this money.
We spent it all on lunchboxes, guys.
Don't know what to do."
Haven't you ever seen the cartoon? That was very expensive to produce.
Obviously, we got the best writers. I mean, look at the plot.
So. A week or two ago, Travis, I don't know if I told you this or not, I tried doing one of them Facebook ads to advertise the podcast, try to bring in new listeners, right? You pay Facebook and you bring in new listeners.
And, how many new listeners did that pull in?
I spent $8.16. The ad reached 344 people. And we gained 11 Facebook likes. Now, keep in mind, Facebook doesn't even show most posts to the people who actually like your page. And actually, some of the people that were reached might actually be people that already like your page. Like, the Lotus Cast is trying to do it because I was talking about it and they were curious too. I was curious more than anything.
It always gains you likes. If you pay that money, it will always bring in new likes, but the chances of actually bringing in a listener or somebody that you will engage with are probably next to nothing.
So, I mean, like, yeah, I'm very curious. I like to see, you know, what podcast people and internet radio people do to expand their brand. It's an interesting concept to me. I like to see what other people do. I follow a whole bunch of groups on Facebook and people posting ideas that they had and, you know, like all kinds of things. And most people just kind of do the I'll rate and review your podcast on iTunes if you rate and review my podcast on iTunes. I get mad when I see that. I don't know. That bothers me for some reason. I probably shouldn't be bothered by that. Because
the reason it bothers you is probably the fact that they do not listen. They just swap reviews.
Yeah, it seems dishonest to me. And maybe it's time we start being dishonest. Maybe it's time we start cheating a little bit.
Well, all that's done is for advertising. Like, they're advertising for you.
You know, boy, you know what, though, really?
You scratch my back, I scratch yours.
I mean, we got people in the chat room. We got people that interact with us every week. I don't need more listeners. I'm fine.
Yeah, but how many of those people in the chat room have shows on our network?
All of them, pretty much. I'm just curious, really. I'm curious what people are doing. I like to try it out. I'm interested. I think that we do a good show, and I think that more people should listen to it than do. Anyway, what I'm getting
also, it'd be nice to bring some people in that would buy some of our sponsored meat products.
Right, right. Yeah, our sponsored meat. They sent us an email that said that nobody's buying our meat, and so they might just close down our account because nobody's buying our meat.
Well,
everybody go to the website and click on the meat ad.
How much does it cost them to run that damn thing that they have to worry about?
I don't ever mention our meat ad. I just thought it was kind of funny to see if we could get banners on our website. I have an advertisements page. You have to seek out the banner ads.
You have to go to the ad section of the thing. We're not, it's not like organic. We're like, we want you to click on our ad page and please.
Hey, you
want to
go look at a bunch of ads for vaping sites?
I think this is them retaliating against our
that's what I'm getting at.
Meat bit. The
I paid $8.16 for over the course of 2 weeks to reach 344 people just to tell them that we have a podcast that exists. Our friends at the Red Show, good pals at the Red Show. I listen to the Red every week. They're friends. I'm not saying anything negative about the Red. I'm stressing that enough.
We do not.
I enjoy the Red. They're all nice guys. I talk to them all the time. I'm not saying anything negative about the Red. I admire the Red. Now, let me tell you what happened this week. Michael Ian Black. Are you familiar with Michael Ian Black?
Yeah, he had
He was on The State.
Well, he also did a thing for Comedy Central.
He's done a
for
lot
like a
of things. He's very successful. For whatever reason, Michael Ian Black decided that he needed validation from Footer of the Red Show. Footer of the Red Show told Michael Ian Black that he didn't think he was funny.
Well, I'm sure.
I think the term that he used was hack.
He said he was a hack and not funny. And so Michael Ian Black proceeded to go on a 3-hour debate with Footer of the Red Show in front of his 1.96 million followers. And I mean, now let's do the math here, Travis. I've written down some stats here. Let's say, let's be very, very modest. Let's say 5% of Michael Ian Black's 1.96 million Twitter followers saw some of the tweets where he was tweeting links to Footer's SoundCloud page, Footer's podcast, or Footer's internet radio show page. Let's say 5% saw that. That is 98,000 people. Let's say 5% of those 98,000 people clicked the link. Clicked any link.
Any of them. Any of the many links that Michael Ian Black tweeted out in the span of 3 hours.
And I mean, that doesn't even take into account other people retweeting it and then being to their followers, or other people favoriting it and then you getting a notification on your phone that says, hey, all these people are favoriting this. You should go
see
what it's
about.
Which a
lot of people did retweet a handful of those things.
Absolutely they did. Yeah. So if 5% of the 98,000 people actually clicked a link, that's 5,000 people. 5,000 new ears listening to the Red Show or listening to Footer's music.
And I guarantee you that happened because when I watch a comedian go on a tirade about somebody I've never heard of,
absolutely.
One of those tweets, I go back and I see what the fuck just happened. And I'm clicking on those links being like, who are these people?
5% is
highly successful comedians.
Insanely modest.
Very, very modest. Especially, I'd say 5%.
I said 5% of 5%.
Yeah. And I'd say 5% if it was over and done with in like 20 minutes or like 4 tweets. But it was 3 hours and probably, what do you figure, 30 some tweets?
Oh, yeah. It went on for 3 hours on the 4th of July.
Where people are drunk with their phone in their hands.
So, I mean, it got so out of hand that Michael Ian Black is live tweeting his listen of the Red Show's podcast. And
again,
and
like
referencing specific things to where people are going, oh, what is he talking about? I need to hear the Red Show. Even if Michael Ian Black says it sucks, now I'm curious. Now
yeah,
I want
to
hear.
Because he's taking the time to listen to this and live tweeting it. Because he heard just a little bit of it, and then he had to tweet at him and say, listen to your show, wish I was glad I could say that, but it was really, really terrible.
So,
and then, later, he listened to more of it.
He came back to listen to more of it. He's like, oh, guys, I got to take a break. I got to, you know, go. I got to do some bullshit with my family real quick. I'll be right back to listen to more of The Red Show.
So I know Wet Hot American Summer, the Netflix series, debuts soon, but I'm going to take the time out to listen to this so I can bash it on Twitter.
So I'm watching this idiot advertise The Red Show for 3 hours, and I'm thinking to myself, I spent $8.16 to make people aware that I have a podcast and reached 344 people. And Footer called Michael Ian Black a no-talent, unfunny hack and reached 1.96 million people.
Plus all of the retweets. So you're saying, millions of people.
So you're saying that Footer has a check to write to Michael Ian Black now.
Just as a control, I wanted to see, oh, well, members of the state must advertise podcasts all the time. So I sent Michael Ian Black several tweets. I said, hey, Mr. Black, I was a big fan of you on EdTV. Can you please retweet a link to my podcast? Guess what, Napier?
I'm going to say no.
He no didn't. Retweet. He did not spend his 4th of July critiquing my podcast.
But you got to figure maybe he was exhausted. So didn't you take it another step further?
I did. I also tweeted Thomas Lennon and Michael Showalter. And I asked them, hey, you guys were on the state. Could you spend your 4th of July weekend listening to my podcast and giving me honest criticism of it?
Please, please rate and review.
And then I called, just to see if this was a phenomenon that I wasn't a part of it, I called Ken Marino a hack cocksucker, and he didn't reply either. I think it's because I used all caps.
And it was out of nowhere.
I mean, Footer very politely told the guy that he was a no-talent, unfunny hack cocksucker. I used all caps like I was yelling at him, and he was like, oh, sir... I will not tolerate this, but it's just, it's a, the marketing that goes behind that is phenomenal. And like, you know, I'm joking about it. And, you know, Footer messaged me and was like, are you giving me shit or you do realize this is a good thing? I was like, of course I do. You're advertising to 2 million people.
2 million comedy fans are seeing all of your stuff.
We got Footer calling it. Footer.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
We're telling the Footer story.
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm listening, and you're doing a great job of not hurting my feelings or bashing me, and I'm really happy about
what
that.
What would I have to bash you? I want to be just like you. I'm going to start calling guys from past Saturday Night Live hosts cocksuckers as soon as we get off of here.
You know what really did make me laugh, though, which I found hysterical, was I kind of knew where he was going before he went there. So I was already prepared. Like, look, I know what am I going to do when he's like, so what artists have you worked with and developed? I'm like, now do I throw fucking Rev Theory, like Puddle of Mud? I'm like, do I throw these guys under the bus? And then he goes, well, if you had a record deal, you'd be successful. And I'm like, well, okay,
then you throw Puddle of Mud out there, and he's like, well, Puddle of Mud sucks. And then it's like, well, God, I didn't need to bring Puddle of Mud into this.
Or he starts tweeting at them and saying, hey, is this the kind of people you associate with?
Like, right, yeah.
That's what it was. So then I said to myself, there's nothing – like, if he's a true fag lib that he is, if I say I'm a janitor or I say, like, I'm a constructor – like, if I can say something, I know he can't bash it because he's a shitbag lib. You know what I mean? He's not going to bash it. He's going to be like, oh, well, that's – and sure enough, somebody wrote in, well, that's a noble job. It's not – should be making fun of me if I'm a fucking janitor. Bottom line.
So is it still going on? Like, are you still getting tweets from his constituents?
Not really. But you nailed the percentage thing is exactly how I looked at it. Because I've done it before with, like, stupid Fred Durst, you know, doing something for me that was so minimal. But the fact that he had like fucking 6 million followers or whatever the fuck it was at the time.
1.96, believe me, I've done the numbers.
So it's like that was the key why it was fucking great. You nailed it. When it came to the fucking percentage of people that at least thanks for picking fucking one of my a lovey dovey fucking ballad that I wrote. yet stupid. What do you think? Out of all those people, not one person besides him, by the way, bashed my music. Because look, you may not like it, but you can't say it's not good. You can't.
Right.
You might not like it.
Well, which is awesome because he compared it to Creed. There's a lot of Creed fans out there. So
I'm sure of the 2 million people that on his Twitter followers, there's probably 25% of them love Creed.
I put it this way. I initially got about 15 more followers. And then, you know, then they hung out. They hung for a day and realized they bring nothing to the table. And they most of them left.
But they were yours to lose.
Boom, exactly.
Right.
That was key. And the other thing that made me laugh was he almost like was proving my point when I was trying to say to him, look, I'm not going to argue if you're successful or not. I'm sure you're successful, but I don't find you funny. You're not funny. You know, and my point was like a lot of people can be successful that aren't funny. The same way you can have – if you're saying that I'm Creed, well, Creed, you're saying they're very successful, but yet a lot of people don't like them.
Yeah, you can do a lot worse.
Exactly.
Jeff Dunham was very successful. He has a private jet.
Boom, you're nailing it. That's exactly what I mean. But anyway, it was good to hear that you guys picked up on it, and I like your take on it because it makes me look good. Thank you.
It bothers me a lot. I
know it.
It bothers me so much. I'm sitting here and I'm going, damn it! I'm noble, guys. I really am. I want to do the right thing. I don't want to do what Footer does, but it works, and I keep seeing it work.
Well, it came out of nowhere, because what didn't he only engage with you because that Randy Lidke, like, tweeted something to him, like, one of your tweets, and then he, like, came on board to go after you?
Guys, I have had two celebrities block me on Twitter, and you know what? Both of them blocked me because I commented on something Texy from The Red Show said. The Red is losing all of my celebrity friends. I now can no longer see what Roseanne Barr posts on Twitter. Roseanne Barr, Bubba the Love Sponge. Who gives a shit, right?
You were fucking asking. You were being so nice to him.
I know.
And generally,
it doesn't matter, Footer. Being nice doesn't get you anywhere.
Oh, I know. That's why I the minimal success that I do have, it's all because I'm a shitbag, and I know it.
Maybe Michael Ian Black would have respected Footer more if his podcast was on a giant sketch sheet of paper that he could constantly flip through and tear off. It's a joke about his shitty comedy special.
I don't see. Oh. I'm not up on it, so I was hoping
that's one of those.
Dimitri Martin.
Oh, shit, that's right. I get those two confused a lot.
How?
I don't know.
No, you know what? Texy brought up the fact of, and thank God I didn't say it, like, well, what have you done lately besides a stupid Klondike commercial? Meanwhile, the new Jim Gaffigan special, he's like his sidekick, I believe, his co-host, co-star. So I would have felt pretty stupid.
He pops up in something every couple of years. He's a successful guy.
Successful. But the truth, I don't like his lib garbage. And someone asked him, how did it start? It didn't start by him seeing a tweet I did. It started by me. I saw some unpatriotic bullshit that he wrote, and he spelt imperial or something wrong. And he just said some stupid shit on 4th of July. And again, I'm just being a fucking a douchebag. So I just wrote, you country hating, unfunny hack or something like that. I wrote, and then that just started the whole fucking wheel fucking turning. And then then for some reason the night before I had tweeted that I went, oh, I only have 3G, I only have 3G like a colored. And then I wrote a little frowny face. And Jesus Christ, I'm up to like 35 fucking retweets
on that
one.
It was satire, guys. It was satire.
once they did that, once they saw that they just, that was everybody's stand. Like, oh, like most of his like listeners just tweeted at me with, what the fuck? Like they were outraged that I alluded that a colored may have 3G. You know what I'm saying?
It's a slow news, a liberal news day.
Exactly. They couldn't talk about fucking global warming, so that they came after Foots. It's not right. I've been attacked, guys.
I usually don't even get 3G around here.
That was my thing.
I have like Edge or some shit. I get like no reception, guys.
Anybody in the world would really think that for a second I believe that niggers don't get Wi-Fi? I mean, come on. I never said that.
You got Wi-Fi at McDonald's now.
Boom. You see, well, that was a little racist, by the way, what you just said. I used my N-word in context. Now you're just, you know, now you're just saying they only get Wi-Fi at McDonald's. So you guys better be careful. I think you guys are getting a little fucking sassy over there with your racism. All right, guys, Footer, I'm going to stop ruining the show. I'll let you guys
Thanks, Footer.
Footer,
you keep fighting the good fight for all of us, and we'll just ride in your jet stream.
All right, guys, we'll be back in 5.
You're listening to StrangeLabel.com. Viva La Label.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND. Thanks for Footer of the Red Show. The Red on Wednesday nights, redonline.com.
Amazing show every night.
Not every night, Wednesday nights.
No, every night that they do it, which is Wednesdays.
Travis!
Yes, sir!
Do you know what time it is?
It's time for Ask Dr. Napier.
Got some questions for Dr. Napier. Napier, how you doing, buddy? We haven't done this in a while. The people, they need advice.
Well, hopefully it wasn't supposed to be immediately.
A variety of topics. First question from Anchor Babcock. Do you think Drunk used his fame from the show to get a lady friend?
Oh, yeah. If I were a single man, I'd be pushing that pussy every time.
You would? You'd be like, hey, gal, I have a podcast.
It's seen by 9 people. Only 7 of them are my friends. One of them is my mom.
Also, now that he's getting some tang, will he ever return?
I wouldn't.
I don't think Drunk's coming back. See, for a while I was thinking maybe he was, but, you know, I haven't talked to Drunk in a while. Drunk was saying that he was going to leave us a message every week, like Drunk's take.
Like, remember when he showed up for the 200th episode?
He told me he was coming, and then he just didn't come.
Sure did.
And I never heard from him. I didn't get a phone call or nothing. No, Drunk ain't coming back, guys. Sorry to break it to you.
No, he's getting strange. I mean, respect.
I mean, God bless him. He used the show fame to... He probably handed out some of them business cards, I bet.
Oh, easily.
Like, hey, baby, I got a business card.
Oh, the drunk, dumb broads around here? Yeah, they take it.
He said, hey, bitch... Why don't you go home and get on any brand of social media and search for hashtag flat drunk? I've been around. I'm fucking famous.
Look at all these celebrities I'm in pictures with.
He's been
I know Guar, bitch.
You know Andrew WK? Yeah, me and him. Tight.
He's been with more celebrities than syphilis.
From the rabbit poundings, how do you get users to stop being stupid?
It's like asking a fork to be a spoon. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't even know what that means. Is there like a story attached to this?
No.
What's a user? Like a...
A user of a product.
Like, okay, so anybody.
Anybody.
How do you get anybody to stop being stupid?
You don't. You don't get a fork to be a spoon.
Is that like an inside joke?
Yeah.
You throwing out an inside joke?
No, she put that in there as an inside joke, and you said it.
You know, Travis, before you got on the Skype... Napier's wife came over and was whispering to him. I'm sitting a couple of feet away from Napier, and they're like having little whisper conversations.
Oh, you guys aren't those people, are you?
Me and him are sitting 2 feet away from each other, and they're having whisper conversations. I'm sitting here. It's just us two sitting here. There's nothing going on. We're eating tacos, and they're whispering to each other.
She whispered love things to me.
Gross.
Did you want to listen to it?
That is fucking gross.
Gross.
Do that on your own time.
Every time is my own time.
I need 90 minutes a week.
I am the master of my own destiny.
I need
sir.
You to come over here for 90 minutes, and then you can go back to love time later. This is hate time, Napier. Purge the hate!
Well, I don't hate nobody. We should all love each other.
From Jim Chadman, I want to fuck models. How do I do that?
Money and a big penis.
The first one, I think, is the biggest.
Yeah, that's way more important. But you can do with less money with a big penis.
Now you have a big penis, right?
Yes, I do.
How do you convey to the gals that you have a big penis?
You show it to them.
I mean, that's not appropriate to do, though. I mean, like, how do you have to get to the place where penises are showed?
I guarantee, if you show abroad a big hog hanging off of you. There is no inappropriate time. They will look at that in bewilderment.
See, I mean, that goes back to what we were saying before. I mean, like, you know, once you get them into to the room, like, they're yours to lose.
Exactly.
And, I mean, like, you know, they've already established, okay, I might be interested in what you're picking up here. And then you whip out your dick, and then, like, okay, you have a big dick. But at that point, you already had them on the hook.
Exactly. It's like that Alec Baldwin scene from that shitty movie about closers and how they don't deserve coffee. Yeah, if they're coming in there to buy a
used
car.
Did you say shitty? Glenn Ross?
Yeah.
Are you saying shitty?
No, his was the only part in that whole thing that I enjoyed. Watch that entire fucking thing. His was the only part that I gave a shit about. It was great. The rest of that movie was ho-hum.
That's insane talk.
From Starry Spice, now that the gays can marry, when can I marry my gun?
I guess that really depends on you and your relationship to your gun. I hope gun means sassy lady broad.
I guess theoretically you get married in your heart.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no law against it. There's a law against gay
people.
There is
a law against it.
Really?
You can't marry an object.
Mm, love is a warm gun.
What are they going to do, tell you no?
I just imagine Travis, like, being one of them, them fellas with multiple wives, and like he marries every single one of his boxes of comic books.
Oh, Catchwoman.
Be like, I'm a polygamist on a New Mutants 1. And
it'd be select ones. I would just have the other ones as my side action.
Oh, Dazzler, why can't I get all of your puddings?
From Mandy Weaver, what's the most medically sound way to crush someone's spirit?
I would say with something that involves like their disappointment to like a parent, or like shortcomings, as you know, if their parents, you tell them your kid's a shitbag, you know, something like that, or something about guys worry about having, you know, they want to have big penises. Do ladies worry about if they have wide vaginas? Say your vagina's too wide. Just say something like that.
In every couple of months, we do the Ask Dr. Napier segment. And then I'm like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't do that again for a while.
Is that that time?
And that was Ask Dr. Napier. Guys, it's been a while since we had a Hollywood Fantasy League update. Ted 2... finished this.
Blew week. Away the box office, right?
$58 million. Had a 48% Metacritic. Earned the Sonic Blasphemy guys 28 points.
That's a solid third round pick if that's your third rounder.
Inside Out.
Oof.
Made $185 million. Had a 93% Metacritic.
Oh,
that's money, baby.
Fuck you.
So 172 points for The Lotus Cast.
That's fucking insane. Jesus. It was really good, too.
Did you see it?
Yeah, it was really good.
That is fucking filthy.
A 93% Metacritic is really good.
It deserved every bit of it. It was such a good flick.
And Jurassic World, which was our first overall pick, it was passed over by Sonic Blasphemy, who took Minions ahead of it. I knew it was the number two. I would have taken Avengers over it, but I wouldn't have taken anything else over it. Jurassic World has finished its 2 weeks run with $403 million.
Jesus.
That's so crazy.
Great.
Had a 59% Metacritic.
People
didn't care for it. A lot of people saw it, and many people didn't care for it.
The CGI dinosaurs were a little fucked.
Wouldn't you think, though, making that kind of money, you'd have to get quite a few repeat watches?
You would think. I don't see that many people like going to see it. It has to be, but I mean that's like. Do you remember like when Titanic came out and like Titanic was in the theaters for like a year?
Yeah, that was when VHS was still around, so movies actually lasted a long time in the theater if they were making money.
Is there like more movies coming out now? Like, are we putting out more movies or
shit?
They're churning the box. The Hollywood's different now because when they do put out movies, it's all like big budget, giant things. So when they are putting out these multi-million dollar movies, they're putting them half the time in like two different screens because you have a 3D and you have a regular version.
Yeah.
So it's like knocking out the other movies. So they come and go faster just because all of the movies that come out are those like giant blockbuster
movies. So the giant movies that were coming out before stayed in theaters for a long time.
Yeah, like the $1-2 million movies that actually used to come through in the 90s and you'd get them in the theater.
Now
they're going directly to VOD.
Yeah. Yeah. Which there's some great stuff really. There's such like this crazy like influx of media. It's like so hard to see it all. It's like And I mean, like, there's stuff, like, great stuff that, like, you don't even know exists.
Oh, and same thing for video games. I mean, video games get popped out every couple of months. You can't finish them before a new one comes out that's supposed to be this great, thrilling thing.
I've gone back and forth about, like, Netflix's method of putting out all the shit, like, at one time. But you kind of got to, because you don't know if the ADD brain is going to stick with something for 10 weeks.
Well, that's the problem, is like, you have kids, they're on iPads all the time watching Netflix or watching YouTube, so you don't have the attention for very long. Even if a movie like does really well and people like it a lot, they're not talking about it for more than a couple of weeks before they're moving on to the next thing. So you better produce something that they're going to be looking at those 2 weeks later. They're not going to still talk about your movie.
Which, again, takes me back to the thing with Footer. I mean, like, the 30 people that followed him on Twitter because they wanted to make fun of him for getting his ass handed to him by Michael Ian Black.
Oh, I saw that he didn't do bad at all.
I mean, in a couple of weeks, they're not going to remember why they followed this dude.
But they are going to listen to his show.
They're just going to see links posted and you know, his meager attempts at humor and say, oh, I'm following this guy. That was kind of funny. Or, oh, hey, I should check out this show. Obviously, I followed this guy for a reason. It's all such this, like, passing ship that, like, you only really have, like, one chance to board. And then it's gone from the social consciousness, and we don't remember it anymore.
Well, and that's why I think why all of those bullshit BuzzFeed cracked articles are so prevalent right now, where it's just lists. It's clickbait. It's a list. Here's a list. We're going to give you the top 10 reasons why cats are better than dogs. And you're going to look through it, and you're going to laugh, and you're going to retweet it, and you're going to send it to your friends, and then you forgot it existed.
Oh, and don't forget all the photos with, like, words on them and shit. You gotta put some context to your photos.
Yeah, exactly. Don't let people think too much about it.
But how do you escape that?
You can't. It's done. We're over. As a society, it's done.
I mean, all those pages are 90% of the pages an ad.
I have a room of my house with shelves and shelves and shelves and shelves of DVDs and Blu-rays of movies that I enjoyed and decided to purchase. I've probably spent thousands of dollars. I know I've spent thousands of dollars on DVDs and Blu-rays and video games and stuff like that. And I have an entire wall in the back bedroom dedicated to storing all of these DVDs and Blu-rays and whatever.
Oh, and it is filled with shit.
But I do not go watch movies that I have purchased because there's new movies I haven't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, the other day I listened to the How Did This Get Made podcast about Face Off.
Love that podcast.
And I enjoyed it a whole lot, and I remembered Face Off, and I was like, fuck, dude, I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell Laura, we're watching fucking Face Off.
Great movie.
Because fucking Face Off is great, right?
Yeah.
But then I come home and I check the internet, and I see that, you know, movies that I haven't seen yet have popped up on illegal download sites. And I say, oh, I really wanted to watch Face Off, but I've seen Face Off, but Melissa McCarthy's spy movie is available on torrents now. I guess I should probably watch that because I haven't seen it. So, I mean, like, that room of my house is worthless.
I have the same room in my house, and I randomly will pull, like, a stack of, like, 10 movies out that I'm like, oh, man, I got to rewatch this again. I think I've only seen it that one time, and I really liked it. And I'll take them upstairs where my, you know, my movie watching happens, and it'll sit on the entertainment center, and I'll stare at them, and I'll be like, yep, gonna watch those one of these days. And I do the same thing. Oh, Netflix. Oh, hey, look, I've never seen this. I don't know what this is.
Right, but the funny thing is like, Guardians of the Galaxy is on one of the movie channels now.
Yep.
I've probably watched Guardians of the Galaxy like 18 times in the past month or two because it's on the fucking movie channel.
It requires zero effort.
Yeah, I'm flipping channels. Guardians of the Galaxy is on. There it is. I'm watching it.
And it's good every time. But it, like, requires no effort at all. You don't have to put something into a machine to watch it.
Me and the wife used to do movie nights where we would, you know, grab a movie, buy a movie, stick it in, put some nachos, like, on, we'd eat nachos, and now that's become, like, Netflix night or
do you
Funimation
watch them
night.
With somebody else and, like, sit next to each other and whisper at each other while you're watching the movie?
Oh, no, you're not invited.
Do you include the third person in your conversation about the movie?
Would you like to know what my wife said to me?
I don't care.
You seem to.
It was rude.
My wife asked
don't
me.
Don't care.
I'm going to tell you.
Don't care.
Well, when you stop interrupting me, I'm going to tell you.
Don't care.
We got a long way to go. My wife casually mentioned to me, away from you, so not to, you know, give you the ews, but my wife asked me if I would do the helicopter on her later.
That's all we need. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
No, I want to know. You've piqued my interest, Napier. Explain to me what you mean.
My wife wants to sit on my penis when we get home from podcast.
And then, like, try to do a 360 spin around?
No, it was just a joke. You were talking...
Explain the helicopter to me. What? It doesn't just mean she's on top of you.
Like, helicopter penis, you know, when you make it go woo, 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 around in a circle, woo.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with her being on top of you?
Nothing. Just
see, now, when I hear the helicopter, what I imagine is that, like, she's on top of you, and she, like, tries to keep you inside of her and, like, do a turn.
Yeah.
If you're going to use code words for something as bland as a regular sex act, you could probably just say that out loud then, like, hey, helicopter later? And then you'd be like, uh-huh.
No, my
and
wife
that's
was...
the end of it.
Do you get some kind of gratification from the helicopter? Like, does it feel good?
I would assume so, if I could actually do that. My penis is too short.
It wouldn't stay in?
No.
It would fall out?
Yeah.
Unless you were very delicate, perhaps you could keep it in.
There are so many things that I see that I would like to try, and I have the
but
same
you have
problem.
To, like, you'd have to,
no,
kick,
she'd have
like,
to
click,
like,
kick your leg up, probably,
no, she would have to
a certain extent, to get it up over...
No, if she's on top, she'd have to kick her legs up. And
yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
Like a spinorama.
Yeah.
No.
You just have to grease up your midsection pretty well. Like, you use some canola oil or something.
I guarantee
then
you.
Just spin and spin.
I guarantee you, sir, during sex, I am very greasy.
Would lubrication in that instance be your friend or your enemy? Because I would imagine if it got, you know, slippy-slidey, then it would be more easy to come out.
Yeah, but I mean, you gotta grease the ball bearings.
But
to
just
get them going.
Think about the hilarious America's Funniest Home Video moment when she falls off and off the bed and hits her head on the floor.
No, that's how you get firework mortared. Who the fuck thought that was a good idea to place a mortar on top of your head and say, "Hey guys, watch this, bang."
It seems like around this time of the year, people have really bad ideas when they're mixing alcohol with explosives. I actually had a guy in my neighborhood, just right around the block from me, a handful of years ago. They decided to do the sparkler trick, where you take like hundreds of sparklers and electrical tape them very tightly together, and then just leave the top of them exposed. And then they decided to put like a 5-gallon like metal drum on top of it, and obviously it exploded. And tore half of his face and off, and he lost a hand as well. Also, his nose is pretty much gone.
So it worked.
Yeah, it did exactly what they wanted it to, except he might have been too close.
Might have, yeah.
So I went over to my parents' house on 4th of July.
Any helicoptering involved?
No. my sister was in town. I went over there to visit, and... Every time I go over to visit my parents, my mom's a big garage sailor. She's really into garage sailing. Every Saturday, her and a friend of hers goes out to find bargains.
She flipped that shit on eBay?
No, she doesn't. She just buys it for herself. She likes to buy craft things, and then she takes them and puts them in her craft room.
Start an Etsy shop.
So every time I go over to my parents' house, I come into the living room and I sit down and I visit with them for a couple of minutes, and my dad always says, "Did you go in the other room, and did your mother show you the treasures she bought Saturday?"
That sounds a little sarcastic.
And then I go, he doesn't really like all the treasures that mom brings home. So the other day, they were sitting around. My sister had heard about this. I hadn't. My sister told me that my mom purchased gelatin at a garage sale for a quarter. And she was really, really excited about this gelatin that she had purchased. And I said, you can't buy food from a garage sale. She said, is it a state sale? It was just in this gal's cabinet, and she died. And so, you know, I got this gelatin for a quarter, and it would normally be way more than a quarter for this gelatin.
You can just go to Schnucks and buy gelatin.
So I'm looking at this. Yeah, I mean, how much is fucking gelatin, right? It's not very expensive.
No.
So I said, let me see this gelatin. And so I look at this gelatin, and I can instantly tell by the box, this gelatin is old. It's it's really old. Like, I mean, just like by the style of packaging, and like, I mean, like, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, that is probably 30 to 40 years old. That's really old gelatin. So I'm examining this packaging, looking for some kind of copyright date, some kind of something to identify how old this gelatin is. And she's like, there's nothing. I looked. There's no date or anything. So, you know, we just don't know. And it was such a good deal, I couldn't pass it up. And I'm saying, no.
Well, that's not for eating. That's for displaying at this point.
You could have easily passed that deal up.
No. No, I mean, like, how much fucking gelatin are you making? You're not making that much.
You see a table full of gelatin, and you walk on by.
You go get a goddamn thing of Jell-O for 65 cents, you know?
Maybe it's like that Chinese meat that was like 40-plus years old. They were just getting really good deals on it.
Right. So I'm examining the packaging. I'm looking for a date. Can't find it. However, there is a little thing that says coupons inside. I'm thinking, oh,
there you go.
This is where I'm going to find it. So I dump out the package, and she's like, no, what are you doing? Don't dump out the package. Find the coupon book.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to let both of you guess when the coupons expired. That isn't to say how old it actually is. That's to say how old the coupons are inside of it. So it's probably even older than that.
And I watch a lot of extreme couponing, and there was a time when coupons were good for 2, 3, 4 years. Now they typically have months on them. But now, yeah. Okay. Napier, go ahead. Go first.
I'm going to go 78 on that.
Travis?
No, I was just going to do like a 92.
It's within the window that you two have created.
88.
Going to go 83.
It's within the window that you two have created.
86.
85.
December of 1985 is when the coupon expired. 30 years old, the gelatin. And so I took it from, and she was mad that I was, I took it outside to throw it in the outside garbage just to ensure that she wouldn't go fish it out of the garbage. I should have dumped out the packets.
You should have let her make it in front of you to see what would happen.
Well, that stuff's made out of, like, cartilage. What's the shelf life on powdered cartilage?
Big bone?
I don't know, but I don't want to find out. I feel like you can go to the grocery store and buy some gelatin and be fine.
Well, did you keep the box at least? I mean, the box
like
is
a collector's item.
Yeah, it's a display thing now.
People have very, very, very successful blogs that they run that just show old shit. That could have been her new thing.
Yeah, that stopped being food 25 years ago.
Hey, look at this gelatin I bought at a garage sale. It's a collector's item. That's what Travis's thing is collecting things that don't say collector's item on them. I bet Travis could have flipped that gelatin. I should have kept it.
Blue, it's a shame.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you could easily get $20 for something like that. Just that it's from like 1985. You got all these little bastards that love their damage.
You think 30-year-old gelatin would be like a good supervillain origin story?
Yes.
Probably. And look what it did for Bill Cosby.
Gelatin. There's a very successful...
I must rape!
The gelatin's in my bones now!
There's a pretty successful blog, though, that he runs, and it's all based on nostalgia. Is a guy that used to run a website called XE Entertainment, and it was all like He-Man coloring pages and watching VHS tapes of like the Macy's 86 Thanksgiving Day Parade and like recapping it and telling stories about it and shit. But he does old food stuff too. Like, so he'll have like entire blog posts with pictures about Ecto Cooler and the old school bubble tape. So people like that exist and would purchase that off of a site like eBay just to put it in their articles. His new website is Dinosaur Dracula, which is actually very entertaining if you go and go read some of that stuff.
I did find one thing from my childhood the other day.
What's that?
My Ghostbusters, the little playhouse you would get for them.
Do they have the pole to slide down?
Yeah, they had the little pole thing on there, and like it was a dollhouse for boys, pretty much.
Yeah.
But it was supposed to be like the Ghostbusters firehouse.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't think I had never that. Could get that. I had a bunch of the Ghostbusters. I don't think I had the house.
Yeah,
I didn't.
I had the house.
I think I still have my Peter Venkman. We should get together and play sometime.
That would be so fucking hot.
You guys could like show up and like just sit on the floor.
And then, like, 10 minutes in, say, you knew what this was, and then we start, like, touching
when
tips.
I sit on the floor, when I sit on the floor now, my feet fall asleep.
I think that's a problem.
I think so, yeah. I'm getting old, man. It sucks.
Have you ever taken a long shit lately, and then your legs fall asleep?
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah, that ain't cool. I'm getting old.
My back gets fucked up if I sit on the toilet too long, which is really a shame, because I really like being in the bathroom by myself. I have, like, 2 kids and a wife. It's a nice escape.
Well, guys, oh, you know what? We got to finish off the presidential thing because it's our 4th of July.
Presidential Smackdown.
It's our 4th of July episode. And so, I mean, I guess we'll just vote. There's 3 of us so that we
Didn't we skip the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, but it's the 4th of July episode. So...
Also, real quick before we get into that, I wanted to get on Napier's case.
Okay.
Greasy Box. How long ago did you send that out?
Oh, I keep forgetting. Mike still hasn't given me the guy's address.
Not true. I did. I mailed it to you. I put it in your Facebook Messenger. And I know you've been on Facebook Messenger because you've talked to me since then. So you're a liar. You're trying to put it on me, and it ain't on me. It's on you.
Okay, well, this will be completed before next show. We'll get that off our books.
That's on record.
Boom.
Yeah, we need to clean up the new fiscal year is upon us.
We need... Oh. Okay, so let's run through these goddamn presidential things real quick. Napier, you do it this time. I'm tired of doing stuff.
Thomas J. Whitmore, Independence Day.
Today is our Independence Day.
Not bad.
Jack Evans, The Contender.
Today, we're contenders.
Well, I see how this one's going to go.
I'm going Pullman.
Going Pullman.
Yeah, me too.
And done. Bill Mitchell. Dave.
Hey! It's me, Dave! I'm the president.
James Dale. Mars attacks.
Oh, shit! Mars is attacking!
Oh, I'm sure there are way better lines from that movie. This whole thing about we should be friends and then getting shot in the face. Oh, wait, fuck, spoilers. My fault.
I'm going Mars Attacks, Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson. Mike?
Nicholson!
Nicholson! And done. Alan Richman, Absolute Power.
I'm the president, Mr. Potter.
Dwayne... Elizondo Mountain Dew Camacho Idiocracy.
See here! We got this guy, not sure!
That's actually not bad.
I'm going Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Camacho.
Me too. He's what plants crave.
I agree.
All right, Brondo wins. Should we do 2 more?
Yep.
I can't see. James Marshall, Air Force One.
Get off my plane!
That actually was the greatest line of any movie ever. Merkin Muffley, Dr. Strangelove.
Something about an atomic bomb.
Going Marshall.
Going Marshall.
Yeah, Harrison Ford.
Okay, so the big finale. James Marshall versus James Dale. Jack Nicholson versus Harrison Ford. I think I would go Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
Easily Harrison Ford.
Okay, so Harrison Ford is in the finals. Pullman from Independence Day or Camacho from Idiocracy?
Camacho.
Okay, so then the finals is Camacho versus Harrison Ford.
That sucks, too, because, man, Bill Pullman is, like, one of the greatest cinematic presidents of all time. It's hard for me, but I'm going Terry Crews, too.
Is he going to be in Independence Day 2?
I think they signed everybody but Will Smith.
Thank God. He has become such a shit since that
Will
damn movie.
Smith?
Yeah.
Welcome to Earth.
Yeah, Welcome to Earth was the greatest line of that movie, probably within that 10-year span of movies.
Who are they replacing him with? Is it like Taylor Kitsch or somebody?
You mean to get some other guy to play a pilot because they will probably need pilots to go shoot at the spaceship?
Or like the main soldier guy that's like, yeah, attacking. I would imagine it has to be some young kind of strapping dude to replace Will Smith. The shitty thing about Independence Day sequel is
they
should have made...
need to get another black, though?
No, they got Jeff Goldblum.
Goldblum's not black.
Oh, God, it should be The Rock.
He's a Jew fella, isn't he?
He is a Jew fella, but I'm saying, like, they've got their quota. There's something in there.
I really want it to be The Rock.
The Rock should be in it.
I don't think that Jeff Goldblum is the answer to the urban audience. I don't
not
think the
not urban.
I don't think
the
urban folks
thing.
Are going, "Aw, dude, let's go see that new Jeff Goldblum flick."
I just hear that all the time.
Shit, dog, let's go see that Jeff Goldblum movie.
Remember The Fly? That was the shit.
Homie was chased by Tyrannosaurus Rex.
And he didn't give a fuck.
Dude's gangster as a motherfucker.
Well,
what do you suggest? Like Kevin Hart?
No. God,
Kevin,
no.
Kevin.
Oh, shit! This fucking aliens!
You don't see enough of that Chris Tucker. We could get Chris Tucker to do it, right?
He went away, didn't he?
Chris
he's
Tucker.
Back, though. He's been touring.
I think that, like, they wanted to make another Rush Hour movie, and Chris Tucker, like, told him he wanted, like, $35 million or something. Like, something crazy.
I think he's, like, hardcore into Jesus now.
And they were
or
like.
Something.
No, Chris Tucker. We're not going to give you $35 million.
He's like, Jackie Chan only wants like lunch for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
he's going to jump off a building.
Jackie Chan is working out deals to where if you buy his grandmother's fruit, he'll make the movie. Fucking, but no, it was something crazy. And I think that like maybe that was like his quote or something, and nobody would pay it, and so then he just kind of went away. That might be completely made up, but I'm pretty sure that's the story.
Well, I thought Ice Cube tweeted something out or like said something in an interview that they were going to make another Friday, and it was going to have Chris Tucker and Mike Epps in it. It was like the final Friday or some shit like that.
Wasn't the last one advertised as being the final Friday?
What did you have? You had Friday, you had next Friday, and then you had Friday after next.
I think Friday is one of those franchises that's kind of branched off into making like a whole bunch, like the American Pie movies. There's too many American Pies now to keep
like
track
Friday
of
presents,
and like one of them had like Harold or Kumar in it, and they were like the 12th billed person in one movie. So they all have Eugene Levy in them. So that's okay, right?
I don't think he was in Naked Mile.
No. Sure he was. I'm sure he at least made a cameo. What else does he have to do?
Make more bad National Lampoon movies?
Fuck, I hope he makes a bunch more Christopher Guest movies. We need something after A Mighty Wind. Or For Your Consideration was the last one.
That was also good.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So what does Terry Crews win for being the presidential champion?
He's
I don't know, does
president.
He have a Twitter account? We could tweet at him.
Congratulations on being the greatest president ever?
No. I was thinking something like, you are an unfunny hack cocksucker.
I don't think Terry Crews would respond to that. I think he's a little too big in the britches to give a shit what we think.
So that's going to be our marketing strategy for this week, Travis. We're just going to, or maybe next week, our show will just be like, you know, we had a lot of success from the shout out episode. Maybe this week we'll just point out celebrities that are hack cocksuckers.
I think we should, since
and then we'll do like the barrage of tweets that you did for shout out, where it's just like tweet after tweet about talking about who's an unfunny hack cocksucker.
Right. Unfunny hack cocksuckers of the week.
I think we should do an episode just completely filled with Terry Crews, and it's nothing but those goddamn random Old Spice commercials. We just play them randomly throughout the episode. Because Terry Crews is an amazing person.
My favorite thing that he ever did was in Expendables Part 1, when he pulls out that giant gun and has some fun quip and then blows a guy in half with that giant gun and then laughs and moves on to kill another guy.
My favorite gun quote had to be from Robert Downey Jr.
John Mulaney is a unfunny hack cocksucker.
Oh, man, I love John Mulaney.
I do, too.
I like John Mulaney.
I do, too. I like him a lot. His diner bit. Ron Funches is a unfunny hack cocksucker.
I don't know who that is.
I like Ron Funches. He's fun.
Give me your favorite gun quote, Napier.
Chelsea Peretti is an unfunny hack cocksucker.
These are all people I love.
Katie DePold is a unfunny hack cocksucker. Baron Vaughn is an unfunny hack cocksucker, and you can tweet him at Barvon Black with a Q on Twitter and tell him that we said so.
Damn it. You're going to have to listen to the podcast to get these great unfunny hack cocksucker snippets.
My favorite gun quote was, "Here's my farm, blam, blam, blam. I'm a lead farmer, motherfucker."
What's that from?
Tropic Thunder. I was giggling like a 7-year-old at that. It was the funniest goddamn thing he could have fucking said at that time. I was in tears watching him shoot blanks at a bunch of Vietnamese folks. I don't know why it was so funny. But I just couldn't stop laughing.
See, now that's a movie I need to rewatch and won't.
But Tropic Thunder is great.
It is great. I love it. I've seen it many times. And now that you've said that, I want to watch it again just for the commercial at the beginning for Booty Sweat.
Oh, God, Booty Sweat. That's that is on a level of Brondo of
it
commercial
is.
Drinks that I would actually buy.
And the best thing about that is that it was a commercial, and you had going into that movie, you had no idea what was happening. It was just a commercial, like it was part of the previews, and then the movie kicked in.
I almost fast-forwarded through that. I thought they were part of the, like, previews, like, wow, what the fuck, are they including previews in movies now? That I can't even skip that? And then I started actually watching the commercials, and they were funnier than shit. I would buy Booty Sweat if that was at my local gas station.
They used to sell a drink when I was delivering to convenience stores, beverages. They used to drink one, and I agree, I would totally try Booty Sweat. They had one that was called Cocaine.
Oh, they had to get rid of
that. Do you remember
that? Yeah.
Do you remember that? And it, like, if you drank it, I don't know if you've ever indulged in that before, and I might have in a past life, maybe, maybe not, but from what I hear, when you drank that beverage, it gave you, like, the infamous drip, like you felt it in the back of your throat, and it was like drinking 15 espressos at one time. If you took down that little 8-ounce can, your heart was beating out of your chest. It was insane, and it lasted about 4 weeks on the market before they pulled that shit.
Well, they kept getting in trouble over it. Like, mom said, no, you can't sell something labeled cocaine at a gas station.
And you can't, and you definitely can't give it the symptoms of actually doing cocaine. And then you can't market it to children in the urban neighborhoods like they were doing. There was like a big story about how it was around all of these middle schools in like the deep New York. Like, no, you can't do that.
What was the other one? Four Loko apparently used to get people fucked up, and they had to pull that one. Sort
yeah, I was all jacked up with caffeine and booze, so it was fucking giving people heart attacks and shit.
Okay, apparently you still can buy Four Loko.
It's not the same, though. Yeah. They totally reformulated it and took out all of the stuff.
You can actually buy Brondo now. Like, somebody actually made a drink called Brondo.
Oh, like on Amazon, one of those kind of deals? Like, we're selling you a six-pack of Brondo?
Yeah, we're selling you a six-pack of Brondo for $25-$30.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it's not horrible. I mean,
it's probably like a rock star with a new label.
Yeah, or a rooster booster.
Did you see the guy who was putting mixtapes in Happy Meals? That story was all over Facebook today.
That's genius.
He was. It's good marketing. See,
it is very good marketing.
I'm always a fan of people finding new and interesting ways to get the word out.
I'm big into guerrilla marketing.
He got fired from his McDonald's job, but really, can't you just go to another McDonald's and probably get a job at that one?
And does it really matter at this point? Because he's got news stories about him all over the internet.
Right, and so now, yeah, and there's no such thing as bad publicity. Guys.
Yes, Mike.
Guys.
Michael.
Mark Maron is an unfunny cocksucker.
You're going to keep going on that until he does something with you, right?
Guys.
Why do you hate Mark Maron?
Adam Carolla is an unfunny cocksucker.
Oh, you know that's not true. You know that in your heart is not true.
And I hope he gets genital herpes and fuck him and fuck anybody who looks like him.
I don't think too many people look like him. Well, that's my mama.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can hear us live every Monday night at 9/8 Central on strangelabel.com. You can download all of our past episodes as well as other goodies at wfodix.com. Pull up our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. You can follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can also follow Travis at ProduceTravis or Drunk at DrunkardSTL. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call when we're live or leave us a message that we may play later on. That phone number is 636-487-4263. Again, thank you for listening. We will see you back here next week.
Well, me and wife are leaving.
You're going to go helicopter?
We're going to go helicopter.
Ready the launch pad.
That's what I call my penis. So the diving board, the U-boat.
You call your penis the U-boat?
Because of the curve, right?
Does it have a curve?
All penises have some kind of curve.
No, I think mine's pretty much straight.
That ain't right.
Travis, you got a curvy dick?
Straight to the left.
Like it's straight, but like it goes to the left a little bit?
Right. It's not curved at all. It's straight pointing to the left a little bit. Yeah. And I think that's from years of masturbation with a right hand.
Yeah, mine's left. Are you lefty or righty?
I'm a righty.
Yeah, I'm a righty too, but mine points left.
I think my dick points any... I think my dick goes straight ahead. You're talking about like when it's erect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
mine,
pants leg, it goes down because it goes down the left pants leg.
Mine's not like 9 o'clock. I'm talking like 11 o'clock, maybe like quarter after 11.
Mine don't curve that way. It has like a.
No, so you're not talking about your actual dick being bendy. You're talking about like the direction that it points, like when it's
yeah, yeah,
bendy.
Like from the base. It's like the base is
like
the
your
middle
actual dick getting bendy.
From the base, points right up. It's got a little curve.
Oh yeah, see, like when you said that your dick has a curve, I'm thinking like you got a J dick.
No, no, it's got like a curve. Like instead of it being straight like that when it's all bonery, it's got a little bit of a slope.
The one time that the wife and I did watch a pornographic video.
Like it together?
It was with a guy that was fucking his girlfriend's sister, and he had a giant curved dick that he was choking her with and making her throw up. And his classic line was, "Did your sister tell you about that curve?"
Oh.
Apparently not.